And here is Swan, deep in the pocket. He's kicked the goal. Hodge at one end, Swan at the other.
Bartel looked the most likely. Clean-up operation led by Scarlett and Mackey. Natanui again. He's an irresistible force, Natanui. Oh, what a goal. What a star he'll be.
Gets it from Mitchell. Bergen kick inside the ball at 50. Here comes Bunny. Wheels around. Gathers the football. Oh, 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 it's oh, he's kicked a miracle. He's put it through to the outside of the boot, running to the wrong pocket. Oh, can you believe that?
That is delicious.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of Footy Frenzy. I'm your host, Luke, and this week I'll be joined by my esteemed colleague, Jack. How are you, mate?
Oh, yeah, fine, thanks. Yep.
Had a good week?
Yep, very, very.
Now, Jack, as you're aware, our fans are able to log on to radiocarrom.org and leave questions for us to answer on air. And we've had a question asked over the weekend. It comes from Gramps. I think that might be short for Grandpa. I'm not too sure.
Yep.
Great game by the Saints and the CPL under-11s, which stands for the Karen Patterson Lions under-11s. Well done by all. More wins this weekend. On the Friday show, we did discuss the top of the ladder clash. What happened, Jack?
Yeah, well, this week we played Mount Eliza of Red, and very lucky we won. We played really bad in the first three quarters, and we ended up coming back and won by 7 points.
Now, Jack, I've heard a rumour that you may have had a hand in the win. What did you do?
Oh, yeah, just kicked a winning goal and,
you kicked the match winner?
Yes.
Are you an absolute superstar? Who have you got this weekend?
Frankston YC, yeah. Frankston YC.
You going to get another win?
Should
win. All right, well, Gramps, he's confident, so hold on. I think they're going to get another win. Now, we'll get into the serious stuff, and I think you've got the first game, Jacka.
Yep, well, Geelong Bulldogs clash, and scores 14-11 Geelong, 95 to the Bulldogs, 11-9-75 with Geelong just holding on, just.
And the goal kickers?
And the goal kickers were for Geelong, Hawken 3, Motlop 3, Chapman 2, Mackie, Selwood, West, Hunt, Bartel, Podsy, Adley all got one. And for the Bulldogs, Dean Syracuse 3, Higgins 3, Dixon, Jones, Wallace, Liberatore, Skin and Skinner all kicked one as well.
And who were in the bests?
All the best for Geelong probably were Johnson, Chapman, Corey, Enright, Scarlett, Selwood, Motlop and Mackie. And for the Bulldogs, Boyd, Griffin, Liberatore, Murphy, Hargrave, Minson and Austin.
That's an interesting order to put those players in, Corey and Enright. I should probably have done it the other way around so it didn't sound like Corey Enright. The Doggies look good. However, it's really evident that they are lacking a key forward. They're lacking a target. It just seemed many times throughout the game that Geelong was going to blow it out of the water, but the Doggies hug on. They're playing all right football. Geelong's just motoring along. Do you think the Doggies should pursue Travis Cloke as a trade for next year to straighten him up and give him a target?
Probably. They need a strong forward.
They do.
Yeah.
I'd have a crack if I was them.
Yeah.
We'll move on to the game at the G on Saturday, the thumping, if you'd like to go through it.
Richmond, 21 goals, 11, 137, and to Hawthorn, 10 goals, 15, 75, an absolute thumping.
Yes, we're aware of that. And the goals?
Richmond, Rewalt 6, King 3, Edwards 2, Martin 2, Jackson 2, Morris, Cochin, Tuck, Marich, Nahas, and Delegia all 1. And for Hawthorn, Bruce 3, Rioli 2, Roughhead 2, Young, Smith and Franklin all got a single goal. And the best for Richmond would be even Marich, Tuck, Cochin, Morris, Foley, Rance, Griffiths and King. And for Hawks, Burgoyne, Lewis, Roughhead, Bruce and Gibson.
Yes, it was an interesting game to say the least. The Tigers midfield was unstoppable on the day. Deledio, Cochin, Foley, Tuck, they were amazing. Was Dustin Martin in the best? Can you just have a quick look? Was he in the best?
No.
I find that very interesting, and I actually left the game with a Richmond supporter, and I asked her when we were leaving the game if she thought he was in the best, and he wasn't, and she didn't think he played that well, yet he still had 11 kicks, 21 handballs, so 32 touches. 13 of those were contested. He had 4 inside 50s, 2 goals, and 2 goal assists, and he still didn't even make the best. That's just the reputation this man is building for himself. That would be an outstanding game for anyone else, but now it's just expected of the young man, so it's good to see he's improving. We've got another question that was posted on radiocarrum.org by Brad. What did he have to say?
Brad said, what are your views on Richmond's performance on Saturday?
Well, Brad, I knew you'd ask something along these lines. You texted me as soon as the game was finished just to rub it in. But the Tigers were fantastic on Saturday, and I don't think anyone can take anything away from them. I think the negative media towards Hawthorn doesn't quite do justice to the job that Richmond actually did on the weekend. They thoroughly deserved the win. They were a lot hungrier for the contest. They had 81 more disposals, and playing against Hawthorn, who play a possession game, that's a big win. They had 30 more contested possessions. They had 7 more clearances and 19 more inside 50s. So they really did dominate all over the park. One stat I found very interesting is Richmond had only 2 players with less than 60% disposal efficiency, whereas the Hawks had 7. So if you've got 7 blokes turning it over that much, you're in a bit of trouble. Hawthorn, well, they played with no effort or intensity other than the players in the best. So I actually felt Burgoyne, Lewis, Roughhead and Gibson played all right. The rest just were basically witches' hats. I felt that Richmond were extremely well coached on the weekend. They structured up perfectly against the Hawks. They shut down the Hawks' loose man across halfback, so they didn't get to play that precise kicking game that they like to play. The loose man in defence for Richmond was always between Buddy and the goal, so he couldn't use his pace to burn his opponent. And I thought that the game really highlighted Hawthorn's weakness in the ruck. They really do need Bailey, because Hale's not a genuine ruckman. And if I'm an opposition coach and I'm looking at the Hawthorn lineup, if you've got Hale in the ruck, then you've got Roughhead playing as the other ruckman, and you've got Buddy pushing up the ground, I'm extremely happy that they're 3 avenues to goal aren't inside the 50 doing any damage. So I really think they need Marich back in the team. And I'd like to go very early and say that Big Marich is the recruit of the year. He's dominating the mullet. He's got the fans loving it. He's got a cult following. They're all getting the wigs. It's fantastic. So to Big Ivan is my tip for recruit of the year. Having said that, we'll move on to the next game. Port Adelaide versus Gold Coast. Port got the job done, 17-16, 118 to Gold Coast, 10-10-70. Port Adelaide, Boat kick 3, Broadbent 2, Ebert 2, Ebert 2. So that was Brad and Brett. McCarthy, Pierce, Schultz, Stewart, Trengove and Westhoff all singles. For the Gold Coast, Day kick 3, McWalter 2, Ablett, Brown, Horsley, Riscatelli and Sexton. For Port, the bests were Boak, Pierce, Corns, Ebert, Broadbent, Renouf. And for Gold Coast, we had Day, McWalter, Lynch, Stanley and Ice. Your game, what did you notice about it, mate?
Well, there was a 1-point difference at halftime, then Port just kicked away 7-7 in the third quarter, and Gold Coast only kicked 2 behinds. And they kicked the first and it's their first consecutive wins for Port Adelaide since 2010.
That's a big stat, and I think Matthew Primus would be very happy about that one.
Yep.
I think you've got the next game, mate.
Yep. St Kilda, Sydney. Very good game by St Kilda. They just got over the line, 16-15 to 111 to 12-11-83. Goals for St Kilda, Milne kick 3, Del Santo 2, Rewalt 2, Sad 2, Stephen 2, Blake, Cripps, Sipos and Montagna and Molera kicked 1 each. For the Sydney Swans, Jetta 3, Jack 2, McGlynn 2, Reed 2, Bolton, Kennedy, Roberts, Thompson all kicked singles. And the best for St Kilda was Armitage, Hayes, Stephen, Blake, Del Santo, Sad and Milne. And for Sydney, Kennedy, McVeigh, Jack, O'Keefe and McGlynn.
It was a good game by both teams, actually, and it was good to see two dads getting in the goal kickers again. I know my mate Ethan loves him. We've got a listener question posted on radiocarrum.org. From Nick, what did Nick have to say?
Should Melbourne and St Kilda merge to create the Melbourne Saints? The positives for both parties being Saints get them out of Frankston back to the city, and the G being their home, and Melbourne gives the young up and coming players access to immediate experienced senior players.
That's a very interesting question. I'm going to tackle this one from a purely business sense, and I'm not even going to go into the emotional or the tradition or the other issues that may arise. Basically, it's not going to happen, at least for 5 years, because the broadcasting rights between the Seven Network, Foxtel and Telstra is $1.25 billion until the end of the 2016 season for them to be able to broadcast 9 games. So there's going to be no teams brought in, and there won't be anyone merging in that time. Although I can see the positives as to what you're trying to say, there won't be any movement. And five years is an eternity in football, and by then, who knows, one of those teams may be in their premiership window, financially stable, and Melbourne may be the one with the senior players, and St Kilda may be the one with the youth. So we'll have to just wait and see. I've got a question that's been left online by Jay. I've got one for you. Hey guys, great show. Who could the Saints least afford to lose to another team? Brendan Goddard or Nicky Dell? Have you got their specs in front of you?
Yep. Goddard is 189 centimetres, 93 kilos, and he's played in 194 games. And Del Cento is 185 centimetres, 84 kilos, and he's played 225 games.
Who do you think they could least afford to lose?
Probably Del Cento.
Del Cento, yeah. I personally think that they could least afford to lose Goddard. I think he's the better player of the two, and he actually provides them a lot more versatility and structure. However, having said that, it's a catch-22. I think if they had to choose one to trade, they would trade Goddard just because he'd get a lot more currency out in the market, and they could get a lot better stuff for him other than Del Santo.
Yep.
The next game was the Greater Western Sydney versus Essendon.
7-11-53 for the GWS Giants, and Essendon 18 goals 11, 119, and got over the line but with a thumping. And the goals for Greater Western Sydney: Cameron 3, Shield 1, Trela, Giles, and McDonald all got singles too. Essendon: Cramery 3, Davey 3, Bell Chambers 3, Ryder 2, Montfries 2, Zaharakis, Watson, Melsham, Hurley, and Collier. All got one. And the best for GWS were Trela, Tyson, Kennedy, Cameron, Power, and Shield. And for Essendon, Dyson, Cramery, Lovett Murray, Dempsey, Zaharakis, and Davey.
It's good to see Bell Chambers in the goal kickers with 3 and Ryder with 2. We spoke last week about how we felt that the only deficiency they had was they don't have a very strong key forward, so those blokes were standing up. Hurley only kicking 1, so we'd still like to see him kicking some more goals leading into finals. Essendon, they didn't play that well. They just did enough to get the job done, I felt.
Yeah.
GWS should have been in it if they had a kick straight, 2-9 in the first half. They actually controlled the game for periods of time. They're so fast.
Yeah.
GWS is so quick, and it was a solid performance. They need a key forward. I'm really excited to see how Patton will slot in. He's massive, and he's a ready-made key forward for him. I'm loving the improvement of Jeremy Cameron. It gives him a target. And I was having this discussion with a friend the other day, and we think that GWS is better placed to win a flag than Gold Coast, and we also think that GWS is more progressed than Gold Coast were this time last year and also now. And I'd like to draw your attention to the mature players that both clubs have, because GWS has Davis, Corn, Scully, McDonald, Ward, Palmer, okay? They're good players, but they're not household names like Bock, Brown, Riscatelli, Brennan, Harbour, Ablett. And if you've got this lack of gun senior players, and the others are all good, but they're not guns like the Gold Coast ones, it's obvious that the kids are stepping up and doing a lot more than the Gold Coast kids are. So that's why I think they're better placed right now than Gold Coast. Next game was Adelaide and Collingwood.
Yep. Adelaide, 6 goals, 13, 49. Collingwood, 10 goals, 15, 75, got over the line with a good win. And the goals for Adelaide were Tippett, 2, Smith, Wright, Petrenko and Henderson all won. And for Collingwood, Goldsack 1, Beans, Sidebottom 2, Shaw, Didak, Pendlebury and Wellingham all won as well. For the best for Adelaide, Riley, Van Berlow, Rutten, Sloan, Tippett, Dangerfield and, if I'm right, Jench. Yeah. And for Collingwood, Beans, Pendlebury, Sidebottom, Thomas, O'Brien and Blair.
Yep, Collingwood just continuing with their fantastic travel record. Even better that they got the job done with Cloak being well held. Ben Rutten, fantastic effort to keep Cloak to just 4 touches and 1 mark. It was almost a match-winning performance, but Collingwood just have too much depth. Question from Pete on RadioCarrum.org asks, dear panel, I love the show. Thanks, Pete. We love you too. If the Brownlow was counted now, who would win? My tip is Patrick Dangerfield. Who do you think would win the Brownlow right now, Jacka?
Probably Pendlebury's got a good chance.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with that one. And I think the AFL Coaches Association agree with that as well. They've got Pendle sitting at 1 with Boyd 2 and Stanton 3. And then the Herald Sun Player of the Year's also got Pendlebury sitting 1, Stanton 2 and Lenny Hayes 3. So I'd go with Pendlebury as well. The next game was North Melbourne versus Brisbane.
Yep. North Melbourne, 17 goals 10, 112. To the Brisbane Lions, 15 goals 6, 96, with North Melbourne just getting over the line. And for the goals for North Melbourne, Wright 4, Petrie 3, Black 3, Harper 3, Zeeble, Swallow, Harvey, Greenwood all 1. For the Brisbane Lions, Cornelius 4, Redden 2, Green 2, Brown 2, Berwick, Rich, Rockliffe, Merritt and Zorko 1. Now for the best for North Melbourne, Goldstein, Greenwood, Swallow, Wright, Petrie, Black and Al Delaney. And for the Brisbane Lions, Redden, Colby, Golby, Cornelius, Green, Hanley, Rock. And North were up by 58 and only won by 16, and Brisbane kicked 5 unanswered goals in that time, having been overrun by Port the week before. Scott concerned about fade-out.
So the coach would be concerned about the fade-outs.
Yeah, very.
Yeah.
Now to move on to the Carlton.
Carlton Melbourne. I think that's my one.
Yep.
Yes, Carlton 15-17-107 to the D's 6-13-49. The D's had a bit of a crack, which was good to see. Betts kicking 5 for the Blues, Robinson 3, Hampson 2, Walker 2, Armfield, Cruiser and Tui all singles. For Melbourne, Clark 3, Blease, Howe and Jones all singles. And the best, Robinson, Simpson, Gibbs, Jamison, Walker and McLean for Carlton. And for Melbourne, Grimes, Rivers, Watts, McKenzie and McDonald. Jack, we had Jack ask on the RadioCarrum.org, he asked a question. That wasn't you by any chance, was it?
No.
No? Okay. Jack asks, will Mark Murphy recover for the Carlton vs Collingwood game? Jack, can you answer Jack's question, please?
Yep. Round 15 on Friday night, only 6 weeks away, but Mark Murphy, with his shoulder injury, is 7 to 10 weeks away, so he'll probably miss the game.
Yep.
They will be very cautious with his return and wouldn't expect to see him back before round 19 to 20-ish, and Brock McLean and Mitch Robinson filled the void on the weekend. Let's see if they can continue to do so.
Yeah, I think they did a good job.
And we had another question from Frank.
We do.
Yep, he asked, is the media right in focusing on Mark Neil as a cause of Melbourne's problems?
All right, I'm going to come off the long run-up for this one. I'm going to have to say a yes and no answer. Yes, because if we look back to September last year, when Neil faced the media, he came out, and he was a coach, untried, hasn't got any runs on the board. He basically came out and said, I'm going to coach the team that's going to be the hardest to play in the AFL. And he also said that he was going to do it his way. He wasn't going to back down from the way he wanted to do it. And he's going to be very headstrong. And he wanted his team to be the hardest team to beat all over the ground. And that was the way that they were going to prepare their pre-season. So he came out and made some very big claim, big statements before they'd even kicked a ball. And They haven't lived up to what he said he was going to do, so in many ways he's drawn the focus on himself. Having said that, the no part is I don't think we can actually have a go at him too massively, because although his game plan may be sufficient, we're not seeing how well it can work because he doesn't have the same players that he used to be able to work with at Collingwood. And you can have the best game plan on earth, but if you don't have the players to do it, it's just going to be useless. He probably needs to tweak it to accommodate his players rather than him tweaking his players to accommodate his game plan. I don't think the Melbourne list is as strong as once thought. They haven't had the level of improvement in the key young players that they would like to have had by this point. The senior players such as Maloney, Sylvia and Davey, they're not really playing it with any passion or purpose. The fact that Maloney's agent's out trying to shop him around just shows that he's not on board with what's happening down at the club. They may be disgruntled that they're not the leaders in title, but they are still leaders of the club and they need to stand up and help these young blokes out and set an example and work their butts off to actually help the coach out and try to get the game plan working. I think Neild is the right man for the job, but I think we can't judge him for at least 2 to 3 years when he's had a chance to alter the list and build the list that he wants and see if they play the football he wants and how good that is. So Melbourne supporters, buckle up. It's going to be a long and bumpy ride.
Yeah.
Last game of the round was the Derby / Derby.
Yes, West Coast Rio. West Coast 11-18, 84. Beat Fremantle 5-6, 36 at West Coast, was it? So the biggest ground.
Yep.
West Coast goal kickers: Hill 3 goals, Darling 2, Pritis, Nat Nui, Schofield, Lynch, Rosa, and Shuey all kicked 1. Frio, Ballantyne, Clark, Main, Debor, and Dawson kicked 1 each. And the best for West Coast: Rosa, Glass, Shuey, Gaff, Waters, Hearn, and Hill. And for Frio, Johnson, Broughton, Pavlich, McFarlane, and Barlow. And Rosa won the
Roslyn Denning
medal.
Yes, for best on grand.
Yep.
Now we've got our last question of the day from Chris. What did Chris have to write on RadioCarrum.org?
Should the State of Origin return to the AFL calendar? How do you guys see it working?
Do you think it should come back, Jack?
I reckon, yeah.
I like it. I think it's good. The only issue with State of Origin is how they're going to run it, because obviously with so much money being involved in the game, you can't have your players getting injured in games that don't really mean much. We don't want it turning into NRL, where the highlight and the pinnacle of their game is State of Origin, which I think is a blight on their game. They're more important. They're more concerned with representing their state rather than their country or their club. The way I see it working, this is the way I would do it. I'd have it in week one of the NAB Cup. So you know how they have the split round in week one of the NAB Cup.
Yeah.
I'd have State of Origin in that round instead. So, and then also there'd be some financial incentive to get the players to play. And the biggest issue we have with State of Origin is we've got 4 true football states now. We've got WA, Vic, Tassie and South Australia that are all producing enough footballers, whereas NRL only has still basically New South Wales and Queensland. So we can't follow that model. So I would do NAB Cup round one with State of Origin, a Friday night game and a Saturday night game, and the draw totally done by random. So even just pull a number out of a hat or something. So Vic plays Tassie or WA plays SA on the Friday and then the other game on the Saturday.
Yep.
Moving on to the ladder. If we have a look at the ladder, we've got in 18th Melbourne with 0 wins and 9 losses. In 17th, we've got Gold Coast Suns with 0 wins and 9 losses. In 16th, GWS with 1 win and 8 losses. Port Adelaide in 15th with 3 wins and 6 losses. 14th is the Brisbane Lions with 3 wins, 6 losses. The Doggies, Richmond, North, all have 4 wins and 5 losses. In 10th, we have Fremantle with 5 wins and 4 losses. And in 9th, we have Geelong with 5 wins and 4 losses. And the top 8?
The top 8 are Hawks, 8th with 9 goals. I meant 9 wins.
No, played 9.
Oh, played 9, 5 wins, 4 losses.
Yep.
And same with the Saints. And 6 wins, for the Carlton and 3 losses, and for Sydney, 6 got 6 wins, 3 as well, and Collingwood, 7 wins and 2 losses, and 3rd Adelaide did the same, 7 wins, 2 losses, and Essendon, at the top 2, Essendon, West Coast, Essendon 2nd with 8 wins, 1 loss, and same with West Coast, 8 wins, 1 loss.
Now, Jack, you pointed out something I found very interesting a little bit earlier. What was that that you pointed out to me about the ladder?
North is the highest scoring team with 1,003
points. So they've scored 1,003 points this year.
Yes.
But what was most interesting about that?
However, they are conceding the 4th highest points against, as well with 890. So
although they're kicking the most points, they're allowing the 4th highest most points kicked against them. So basically, their games are shootouts.
Yeah, mainly.
So if that's the way they want to play, I don't think that's going to hold up come finals time.
Yeah.
Jack, that brings us to the end of our show. Thank you very much. You've been an absolute superstar. Will you be joining me again on Friday for Team Talk?
Yes.
I'm looking forward to it. Thank you to everyone for listening. Please remember to get your questions coming in at RadioCarom.org, and remember to look up Radio Carom on Facebook and give us a like. We're trying to get to 40 likes by the end of this week. We're on 17. We need 23 more. Help us out. Throw a dog a bone, as they say.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure talking to you today, Jack.
Thanks.
And it's been a pleasure talking football with all of you. We'll see you on Friday for Team Talk.
Bye.
Side for Delidio. Oh, what a mark, Revolt. For a punt for the mark.
Oh, that was an outstanding mark.
Can you not argue? It gets more. Cross on the buzzer. Hold it in the hand. Goes in there, Valentine. And Reece Shaw. They've been at it all day. Umpire lets it go. They're not worried about it. There's a couple that have gone to the perimeter piping. McBee's in there. Use your laser on Taylor. Shaw kept it alive. McBee gets to look at the goal. With a right foot, but Harris kicked it. One of the goals of the year.
This is someone was Carmichael Hunt. He's past the point of nothing. They'll get to see that one.
That was a monster, Hunter.
Have a look at his teammate. Every teammate has run to touch him.